Hello, welcome back to another episode of Force Proximity. I'm Jonathan, and with me is my author, romance
writer and reader,
Megan Montgomery. And this week's episode, we have
a movie-sode.
So it is our first McConaughey movie, I think.
It is.
And it is U-Boat 571. No.
I would have preferred that.
It had to lose a guy maybe in 10 days. So why did we pick this one? Because we haven't done a McConaughey movie. And
well, I recently read Green Lights for my book club. And Jonathan was going to read Green Lights, but
I just didn't feel like it.
Yeah, and if you don't know, if you're the one person that doesn't know, Green Lights is McConaughey's book. It's like it's a memoir slash self-help slash I hope it's written to dudes, because I think basically my book club, like, we really enjoyed hearing his stories when he talked about, you know, stories of his youth. But he also he's like the dad in Big Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his stories just become myth. And, like, he talked about how he built a 12-story treehouse in his backyard one summer. Like, was it 12 stories?
Or did it have 12 books in it?
Or... It's true. And he slipped all... Because he realized he was, like, living in the back... Or, you know, through the woods of his backyard was a lumber mill. So he snuck the wood out. I mean, it's plausible. And... He's a weird guy. I can see it. But I was sort of picturing he built it, you know, he built a 12-story ladder maybe and then carried the wood up.
That's probably what it is. And he probably was a kid in the 70s.
Yeah.
He totally robbed the lumber mill.
No, I know he robbed the lumber mill. It's just was a 12, like, it was, he was not building an apartment building.
No. The height of the tree.
It was probably 6 feet up in the air, and he was exaggerating a little bit. But it doesn't even matter.
No. And we picked this movie because it's the one we own.
Exactly. Well, you know, I have The Wedding Planner somewhere, which we were going to do because that's the one I can stand.
But I didn't used to do it until... I married Megan. And her mom throw away the cases for the DVDs, and they put it in CD cases, in the CD books.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it makes sense because it saves space. Until you have DVDs that don't have the cover on the disc.
When there's no writing except for that small inner circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beetlejuice is like that for me.
Yeah. So.
But you get to know... I mean, not anymore. Gen Z has no idea.
Yeah.
But when you're a millennial or you know, Gen X or whatever, older than that, you get used to what the DVD itself looks like. And I know Beetlejuice is like just silver.
Did you ever think, like, when DVDs happen, like, this is it? Like, nothing, this is the best this can get. Where can we go from here?
No, I never thought about it.
No?
No. You did, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's like, what possibly could be better than this?
I feel like I came to DVDs so much later. Okay, so we had Laserdisc as a family.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents really loved the technology behind Laserdisc, and they swore up and down that it was way better than VHS. And... I think we also
weren't they huge, the laser discs?
It's like a huge CD. It's like a record size CD. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, the movies looked like records. We had that for a while.
I've never seen one.
Oh. Okay. Well, I was like 7 when we had that, so I don't really remember the quality. I wasn't too aware, you know, of AV quality back in the day. And then we finally got VHS. And then we finally got a DVD player, like, way after everybody else already had them. So I have movies on, I had movies on VHS that was, like, well into the DVD years. So yeah, when we finally got DVDs, it's like, finally we're normal.
It took us same a way while with too.
CDs too. It's like, oh, finally we got a CD player.
No, we had CDs finally right away.
We're normal.
CDs we had right away. DVDs took us a while.
My first CD that I bought was No Doubt. Like, that's how late we got CDs. It was like 96.
No. Yeah, that might have been when we had them.
That's
I don't
late.
Remember. Yeah, but 96, I was... No, we had them before that.
You must have.
But I was like 8... I was 10, 11.
It doesn't matter how old you are. It matters...
Yeah, but it didn't matter to me because I didn't care about having CDs.
Well, it mattered to me. And I was older than you because I still am. Anyway.
It would matter because you would have been like 14.
So DVDs, yeah.
Yeah.
So DVDs, yeah, I don't know. I kind of miss having, you know, I miss not the DVD. I miss going to Blockbuster on the weekend and renting a movie, and like everyone had to put their say in as to what one movie you got.
Oh, we just maybe... all got a bunch.
Really?
We all got one that we wanted and watched it when we wanted to watch it. We got...
I was a family of three and we did everything together.
Well, we did watch one movie together.
Okay.
And then we each got our own movie that we wanted to see and watch in our room.
Oh. I wasn't allowed to get the movies that I wanted to see. And also, we usually got the one I wanted to see. No, okay. I rented Little Women and Troop Beverly Hills and Hocus Pocus over and over and over again. Like, those are the three that I wanted to watch.
I got video games a lot.
There was no other thing.
When we went to the video store.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we got whatever was a new release, if it was available. Like, I remember waiting and, like, checking behind every VHS. Like, is there one there? Please let there be.
Did you ever get a video from the middle aisles?
Oh, yeah. Because I never
got one from the middle.
Oh, no. I always loved Turner Classic Movies. So the middle aisle was Turner Classic Movies. That's how I, like, you know, we would go and rent. I mean, we had a lot of things taped off of what AMC was Turner Classic Movies back in the day. So we had a lot of things taped off of AMC, like... The Philadelphia Story.
So your mom was like a classic taper of things.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She records so much shit on the our DVR. Like,
our DVR
the
is
Who
always...
does this? Who even does this?
Well, I do that too. I just went through all of TCM and taped everything that I wanted to see.
Oh my gosh.
For the next 2 weeks.
I think I recorded one hockey game once.
Like, but you are also somebody who doesn't like to get up to put a DVD in. So you should be a recorder of things if there's something you want
to
see.
It's not that I don't like to get up and put a DVD in. It's our DVDs are impossible to find.
I know.
That's not, it's not that I don't want to do it. It's I don't want to look for it.
Okay.
All right. So let's get into this movie here. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, starring Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson. The first movie that they've done together, and then they did Fool's Gold, which was on Netflix. We could have watched that one, but for some reason, I think this one was better than Fool's Gold.
Well, I've never seen Fool's Gold, but I feel like it got really terrible reviews when it came out, and that's why I never saw it.
It wasn't that good.
I don't even know what it's about. He filmed it in some...
They were looking for buried treasure.
Well...
Kevin Hart was in it and didn't help.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to watch that. I don't know. We should have, like, watched both of them.
and talked about both.
Yeah.
Well, this one.
This is not going to give us enough content.
Probably not. But let's just run down what is it about. So Kate Hudson works for some fashion magazine.
Cosmopolitan. Yeah, Cosmo. Essentially.
Yeah. And she's Ask Andy Anything.
She's the how-to girl.
Yeah.
Oh, and the opening credits for this movie, I tried to screenshot it so I can put it in the show notes. It's so classic late 90s, early 2000s rom-com.
How so?
Just like it's like boxes zooming in, flying in from the sides, but the boxes aren't just a box. They're like, they're weird quadrilaterals that are like, you know, I'm too cool to be square.
What the
I've got to have a pointy edge.
What are you talking
they're,
about?
Okay, so the opening credits, you know, when words appear on the screen and they're introducing edited by
yeah.
John P. Wells.
Okay.
Well, behind the name is like some weird quadrilateral, like it's some groovy shaped box.
Okay, so you can see the name on the screen.
Yeah, and like, and then there's a fly-in from the other side of somebody eating, and then there's a fly-in of another box, and then there's a fly-in from somebody doing something else that's so adorably quirky. Just, you know, just a snapshot of somebody moving.
Yeah.
And looking all cute. It's just, you can tell from the opening image. Like, compare that with You've Got Mail, which I know I compare everything with You've Got Mail. But compare it with Sleepless in Seattle, which we haven't watched on the show yet.
Which was in this movie.
But the classic, like, Jimmy Durante singing with the map that's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the real cheesy map, but it's cheesy on purpose, and it's a throwback to the, like, real rom-coms of the 60s, like the Doris Day, Rock Hudson, like, aesthetic
sure.
of those.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay, well, those are some we have to get into, too. We've got to watch the Doris Days, Rock Hudsons.
Okay.
This is just a very sad interpretation of that. It's like, oh, God, the 90s. And, you know, it's a 2003 movie.
2003.
Came out in 2003.
My senior year of high school.
Whatever. It's the 90s. Like, there's no difference. I'm calling it the 90s. Like, I know that it's 2003, but the aesthetic is the same.
Early 2000s was still pretty 90s.
Yeah, in terms of what these people were wearing and what I was wearing yeah. in high school, there's no difference.
Things
I was
move.
Wearing the things that she wore like my senior year of
stuff
high school.
Stuff didn't move as fast as it does now back
no.
then. The internet
no.
was, I mean, we had the internet. Everyone had the internet, but it wasn't, you didn't have it in your pocket.
No, I would go to my mom's work, which she worked at a nuclear power plant
yeah.
during this time period. And so she worked in the server room. I would sit at her desk to go online and look things up for whatever I needed. And it was bad. Like, even with the highest speed internet
in the
at
room
her
of
office,
the servers.
In the room of the service, it was still like, take a minute for this page to load. You had to really want what you wanted to look
yep.
up.
Yep. Yep. Could you go back in time now, like, way off tangent here? Imagine having to fall back on that internet.
Yeah.
The people would like murder each other.
Yeah. Well, social media wouldn't exist.
No.
Because that would be too time consuming. They couldn't update it fast enough. So they would blow their own servers.
So maybe the world would be better.
Possibly. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. High speed internet.
I think
you make everything so easy and accessible. It's made us weak.
I think there's a good component to social media.
Of course,
like,
there is.
You can find the things that you like.
Like your book.
Yeah. I mean, I can find readers that I would not be finding in my own hometown or state, probably.
Well, you couldn't be an indie author.
No.
But there also were a lot more publishing houses that would be willing to take a risk on people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Now they've all gotten bought up by, you know.
There'd be competition for publishing houses. It'd be different. So you'd probably traditionally publish, whether you'd make money or not, it's a different story. But, all right, so let's get back to synopsizing this thing. Kate Hudson works for Cosmo, not Cosmo, but we'll call it Cosmo. She's the Andy, her name's Andy, whatever.
She writes cute little how to get out of a ticket.
Yeah.
How to, blah, blah, blah. So hence the title, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah.
Because her editor suggested that title, which is dumb. I think one of the reasons I don't like this movie, besides the marketing campaign that we'll hear later on, is the title. Like, that's not even a thing.
Yeah.
Again, you've got a play, like a seeming play on, what is this a play on words
It's for? Not. Let's not get off here, though. We'll get to it with the what didn't work. Let's talk about what the movie was about, and then we'll get to what didn't work.
All right. There's just so many things that don't work.
I know. So let's synopsize the movie and then get to it.
Stupid title. But okay. She's writing this article. Like, all of the common mistakes women make to drive men away.
Yeah.
Like, buy a little dog and let it pee on a pool table is so common.
Yeah. Well, that was different, and we'll get to that since you brought it up. So McConaughey works for a marketing agency, and he covers like the men's stuff, sports, sporting goods, beer.
He's the Mel Gibson in
exactly
What Women Want,
exactly,
which is a much superior film.
And he's trying to break into jewelry, diamonds, because probably a bigger...
He's breaking into the luxury market.
Okay. So it's probably more money there.
Nerf.
Yeah. I would imagine Budweiser would be pretty good.
Yeah, but it's not a luxury brand. It's not De Beers diamonds.
No, but they're filthy rich. So they would pay him handsomely. So
yeah.
That is a thing that didn't work. So okay. For him to get this marketing thing, he has to make a girl fall in love with him in 10 days.
Because to prove that he is capable of sustaining a relationship, or sustaining anything past a one-night stand. The thing you need to know is he's betting his career on making a random woman fall in love with him.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is put out by his two, you know, work rivals.
Who? The Judys.
The Judys, who I don't even know why they exist in this movie.
I don't either.
Like, the white one, exists to, like, make modeling poses into the camera. Did you notice her modeling all the time?
I did not.
It was awful. It was awkward watching them. So he has staked his career, and his career rivals are totally okay with this. Like, hey, if you make this girl fall in love with you, we will gladly step aside and let you have our
lucrative
campaign.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
No.
Well,
because they knew he couldn't do it. But, and so they both have to, one has to reel her in 10 days, and one has to push away in 10 days. And the hijinks that ensue because of the push and pull at the same time.
She has to amp up her, driving him away.
And that's where the dog comes in.
Yeah, and he has to...
like, take a lot. Yeah. Like, a lot more than anyone should.
Yes. That was the part that was funny.
Yes.
The fact that he had to take it.
So, that's all we need. That's the whole gist of the movie. So, what worked... it was funny at points, like the comedy, the physical comedy, the delivery, because the actors were pretty good.
His reactions
worked really well.
Yeah.
What didn't work was the jokes were bad. Like, the writing was bad.
You thought so?
Yeah. Because a lot of the problems you have is shit that isn't true. And for comedy to work, it has to be true.
Yeah, you can't make fun of something that's not in existence.
Yeah, you can't straw man your way to funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, I think people will laugh because people are dumb and they won't think about it. They're laughing because laughing is contagious and you want to have a good time.
Yeah. But the delivery was good.
Yeah, exactly. But then once you think about it, it's like, wait, that's not funny.
Mm-hmm. Or you watch it 10 years later.
Yeah.
20 years later at this point, almost. It's like, well, why did I like this?
I had a hang up about watching this movie for the podcast because of the phrase frost yourselves. There you go. I've seen a lot of rom-com, you know, indie rom-com, actually not even
indie. Do you want to explain indie what frost yourself
trad,
is?
I will. I'm getting there. Indie and trad rom-com writers often have like this cute title that's supposed to be a play on words, but sometimes it's like not a play on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to call this book out, but I know it's successful. I know it's indie. It's just the only title that jumps out at me. There's a book that was popular at Christmas, like on Book Talk, called Dipped in Holly.
Okay.
And like,
how can you dip something in holly?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a plant.
Yeah.
I mean, you can like, liquefy it. And
I know, like, it's, I don't know what it's about. I'm assuming it's about a woman named Holly and he's like dipping his dick in her. However, for that title to work for that purpose, it has to be like a euphemism for like chocolate something.
Or gold or...
Yeah, you don't dip anything in holly ever. Like, you tie a ribbon around holly and, like, adhere it to a package.
Yeah.
You don't, like, I'm imagining, like, tongs picking up a man and dipping it into, like, a prickly holly bush. Like, what? That's the only thing that makes sense. But it's like...
And that's what frost yourself is.
That's what frost yourself is. Like, frost yourselves. Like... Maybe ice yourself. I could see that, maybe, although that's just as dumb. It's like, I mean, you ice your ankle.
Well, you iced out. I've heard that before in the hip hop community.
I think it would be great if somebody like broke her ankle and instead of putting an ice pack on it, they put a diamond anklet on it and she was good to go. I would love that.
It still hurts, but it looks good.
That would make at least more, like, you know, wordplay sense.
Yeah. So.
But Frost yourself.
When she gave him that bald dog, he had one of those collars that had the fake diamonds on it.
Yeah.
And she said, it's his frosting.
It's just a little frosting.
And then that's where he got his idea. Frost yourself. And he ran with it. Like, this is a good idea. He brought it to the boardroom and the girls are like, that's stupid. And then Robert Klein, the boss, like, I like it because I'm also a white man.
Exactly. I hated how the women that had a handle on the campaign before McConaughey's frost herself, which I'm just imagining a tub of Duncan Hines frosting. Like speckled onto a woman's neck. But I think literally.
So you think she, like, the girls probably had a great campaign and.
Yeah, but they just, like, it doesn't even show them stepping aside. This is how little they matter to anything other than to be decoration on the screen.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's, like, they're basically twins, like, they do everything together, the one is always hovering above the other one. It's like, who are you? These weird people hovering. And, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, they don't matter at all.
No.
But, you know, his side characters, like the guys in his office.
Were hilarious.
Yeah. They matter.
That's where the funny parts came in.
I know.
Where all the guys were together.
Yes. What other word? Yeah, how to lose a guy in 10 days. Why isn't it just how to lose a guy?
Yeah.
Like, what does 10 days have to do with anything? Because
that's when the cop, that's when that volume was going to press.
Right. And I get that. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out, but don't title the movie that. I just don't.
Just how to lose a guy.
Yeah. How to drive a guy away. How to do... There is a million other... Like, I don't know. There's a million other options that would have been better. Shorter. 10 days is still... Like, yeah, they explained it, but it's still very arbitrary. Because they go to press in 11 and 5 is too short. That would have been a good line that worked in the movie. It's not a good title for an article. And it's not a good title for a movie. Okay. What else didn't work? Oh, the biggest glaring thing that didn't work for me is they fall in love really at the end. But they don't know.
They still don't know each other.
They still don't. Yeah. They had a total of 2 days within that 10-day period where they were anything real to each other.
Yeah.
Like the first day and the day that they visit his parents. I mean, that's fine if you want to, you know, I don't mind insta love. But they try to gaslight us in this movie into making us think that over the course of them doing this to each other, they have fallen in love and they have a non-insta love arc.
Yeah.
Happening. And that is not true, because who would love... Half of his reaction is like him trying not to murder her.
That's true.
But you know, if you notice, as soon as they get to his parents' house, he's like, he's got his hand behind her back. Like, he's like acting like he likes her. You don't go from wanting to like stab somebody in the neck 1 minute to just like, oh, I like you now because the script says to.
Keep going. I know it doesn't work for me, like a glaring thing.
Okay. So that's what doesn't, it's insta love, but it's framed as not insta love. And we're supposed to be tricked into believing that these two characters care about each other. And that first date was really awkward. I didn't sense any sexual chemistry between the two actors. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like she was trying to trick him into something. Like, not trick him into falling in love with her. I felt like she was trying to catch him, like, saying something wrong. It felt awkward to me.
Yeah.
Felt like two people who hated each other and they're just waiting for the other one to slip so their claws could come out. And I didn't like that. But I'll give them, that was day one of falling in love. And then she started acting crazy, because that's the point of the movie. He took it and took it and took it. But that person that she was portraying belonged in therapy.
Yeah.
And to, like, that wasn't...
Well, because she, like, dialed up the crazy. And she had to keep dialing it up.
Yeah, I understand. But...
I don't think anyone's really like that.
At what point does he say, like, I'm good with a Budweiser account? Like, I know he's a guy...
He tried to, and his friend said, you can't give in. You got to beat the Judies. Because why? Because go boys team?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I'm have this pretty nice apartment in New York and make a good living. And I mean, he bought Knicks tickets for game 7 at NBA Finals.
Yeah.
In 2003, that was still expensive.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that my next point kind of ties into number one and number two.
Okay.
Like, how well was the world built? Fine. Okay. But there were, like... So something that didn't work for me was at the Knicks game.
Yeah.
When she made him go get her a soda.
Okay.
With 1 minute to go in the fourth quarter. Concessions close in the third quarter. You can't do that.
Have they always closed in the third quarter?
They always do that.
Yeah. And see, that's another thing.
Like you should know that when you make this movie.
Yeah. And this is another thing where the truth, like, your joke needs to be real to be funny. So that fell totally flat for you.
Yes. Or they're thinking, these women don't know the fucking difference. They're stupid.
Yeah.
Just make the movie like that so it'll make sense.
Yeah.
But also,
I've been to enough hockey games, like three, that I know concessions are usually closed.
Yeah, because you have to clean up.
Yeah.
Also, within that scene was hilarious when he got to the soda thing.
Yeah.
And the old guy's like, oh, I messed up. I want that one right there. Like, yeah. The way that part was great because McConaughey is awesome.
Yeah. Anytime. And I feel like he improvs a lot of his lines.
So anytime it was good, he set
up. I feel like that is the truth.
Scooch over, writers. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want that because we've all been in that situation with the slow cashier or the slow something. Like, whatever you're about to give me is fine. Just let me get out of here.
Yeah. It's the sloth from.
Yes.
From who works at the DMV.
And Sing.
Yeah.
Was it?
No.
No. There's the other one with the fox.
Yeah.
Zootopia.
I forgot about that movie.
Zootopia. Yeah. So that was one scene that didn't work and worked at the same time. And that's
McConaughey saved it.
And that's how this movie, that's how the world was built.
Yeah.
And when she tricked him and she got the Knicks tickets, with leading him to believe it was Knicks tickets, but it was Celine Dion.
Yeah.
And they were both at Madison Square Garden. How the hell did they do that?
I don't know. When they came out, I don't know. I forgot that we were supposed to be in Manhattan, and I just assumed we were supposed to be in Las Vegas at that scene.
How the hell did you do that?
I don't know.
Celine Dion is not sharing anything with anybody.
No.
In 2003. And plus,
neither are the Knicks during the playoffs. Knicks.
How did you do that?
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I think that's definitely you don't think the world was built very well.
No.
I don't think that the world was built well, in terms of the world around the two characters. I don't think it was built well until they get to Staten Island.
At the house?
Yeah, when they go to his childhood home.
Where everyone has a Texas accent from Staten Island?
Yeah.
Where he grew up.
Well, I don't know what kind of accent I don't know what kind of accent she has. She's just generically redneck to me, but and I don't know what his dad has. Yeah.
So the world was not built very well. It was built to just do whatever moves it along. Yes.
And the script is
not good.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite part? I mean, I laughed a lot.
No, I really didn't like any of it. There were funny parts.
Yeah.
It's not
I agree with that.
It's not Reacher, the show on Amazon Prime, where every moment is just mind-bogglingly stupid.
You know what that show is going to be for me? Jamestown. Remember? We hated Jamestown.
Jamestown.
We have to keep watching it. Like, we're in it now. That's Reacher for me. I'm going to have to keep watching it.
I get it. It's just, I've never seen a show where nothing worked.
Except for the action scenes.
Except the beating guys up.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to watch beating up bad guys.
That's all I need.
Normally, I love that. I love fights and I love violence. Like, give me all the gratuitous violence. But I can't handle any of Jack Reacher or Reacher. It makes me, I was really mad that Tom Cruise was going to play Reacher. And then we watched it and it's like, yeah, his attitude works.
Yeah.
And you said Lee Child
said Tom Cruise might not have the size of Reacher, but he has the attitude of Reacher. And that's what's the most important.
It is.
And I still think The Rock could have done it. And I think John Cena would have been a better reacher for the series than this guy.
Yeah.
He's too young. Like, nothing against him. He's just too young.
No, I think he has, too sing-songy of a voice.
Yeah.
But I think a good director would be like, hey, tone down the lyrical voice that you've got. Like, drop your pitch a little bit and say the song, say the lines in a monotone. And I think that would be
exactly
better. But he's like, hey, how are you doing? And it just doesn't, it doesn't fit with a guy who's supposed to be 6'5" and imposing and so scary. Nobody wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Plus the lighting, plus the script, plus the setting, plus the, you know, jail cell that's just
drywall.
Bars going right into the drywall. Yeah.
Ugh. All right, so no favorite part for me in this movie.
No.
Hero and heroine, we talked about them. Favorite character, I'm gonna go with
McConaughey. Yeah, he's the only option. I'm not a Kate Hudson fan.
Me neither, but I liked his friends, his two buddies, the side characters.
Yeah, I liked him too.
Because that the guy from Reno 911 was in it. The dorky guy.
Oh.
He's hilarious. I love that guy.
The short shorts cop. I've never seen that. That wouldn't be my brand of humor.
Well, it's mine.
I know. It's fine. It's a lot of people's. I'm not like discounting it. I just don't like it. So I haven't seen him in that.
Yeah.
I've seen him in other things.
So yeah, McConaughey is mine. Yours is McConaughey?
Yeah.
All right. Does this movie stay? This is going to be a quick episode. Does this movie stand the test of time?
No. Although,
Gen Z and TikTok, here we go.
Oh, God, Gen Z. Watch anything else other than what you see on TikTok. Please. For the love of film. Watch The Philadelphia Story. Watch It Happened One Night. Watch Lover Come Back. Watch Please Don't Eat the Daisies. Watch, I don't know, Love Story, anything besides this TikTok crap. Stop reading all the TikTok books. Stop watching the TikTok movies. There's other things out there that are better. That's the theme of this year, if you can't already tell. This movie... I was thinking about this question as we were watching it, and I was like, this movie absolutely does not stand the test of time. Because, you know how it started out? The whole reason that Andy got this idea of writing this article, besides her boss telling her to, is her friend just went through a breakup.
Yeah.
And like after, what was it? How many days?
A week.
After a week, Catherine Hahn got dumped by Mike. After doing all the things wrong.
Yeah. That basically girls, doing all the things that they didn't.
The girls actually, you know, back in 2003 were said to do wrong. Like she told him she loved him and like she cried after sex. And I'm guessing that also includes her. She put out too soon. They didn't say that, but I think that was sort of.
I said it.
I think that was what they were alluding to. So they slut-shamed her, and they made her feel bad for telling her truth, and, like, she... What else did she do wrong? I mean, some things were, like, kind of nuts. Like...
She had a real funny line, Catherine Hahn, when they're going over things for Kate Hudson to do, to like, you should call him at midnight and just tell him everything you ate that day. Should, that's bad. Catherine Hahn's like, that's bad. I'm joking. Catherine Hahn is really funny.
Like she sometimes is.
Well, my go-to for her is the character on Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Which
yeah.
is hilarious.
You know what? That character's a standout though, because she's like superior. Usually she plays this like an inferior character, whether she's like morally inferior or intellectually inferior. And I don't like that role. that she plays. Like, she's always in, like, the bit parts when she plays that, and then it just never works for me.
And you know what?
Because it's not, like, she goes too far, and it's not honest.
That Parks and Rec character is my favorite character she does.
Yeah.
And that's probably why, because she's, like, powerful.
Exactly. That's the only character I've ever seen her.
And she doesn't care.
I liked her also in Bad Moms, because
I don't remember if I saw that.
I don't think you did. Anyway, she's in this kind of, she just plays this side character who does all the wrong things that creates the, you know, the premise for the movie. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like that's most women.
Who is Catherine Hahn?
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to, like, learn a bit more about Gen Z and how they date and, you know, the youth in America. And I feel like everything is so natural. Like, you have to be so honest. And I kind of miss, like, I don't even know if this rom-com, like, do people even identify with this anymore? Because you can't play games anymore.
No.
You have to just be your awful self right from the bat. Like, people go to first dates in, like, sweatpants and their hair, like, air dried with no makeup on. And, like, I know that's the thing, like, natural beauty, rah, rah.
But
that is only going to last for, I give it 10 years before people are back to blow drying and curling their hair, straightening it.
It'll take one girl to say, if I do myself up, I'm going to look better than these girls.
But the thing now is, like, it's all about female camaraderie and not being more
until
than
it isn't
one of the girls. I know it's until a cyclical it thing. Yeah. It's going to come back around. You're going to want your Dolly Parton hair back. You're going to bleach it blonde again and not, you know, go for the.
It would,
like,
be nice.
The natural.
It would be nice to have, like, the girl thing you were just saying.
The female camaraderie.
Yeah. Without having, like, feeling comfortable going out in your sweatpants or feeling comfortable dressing up. The girls that I teach, mm-hmm. they wear athleisure every day. And that's a huge change from when I started teaching.
You mean the children that you are
the
middle
teacher school,
of?
Middle school.
Well, they're still children.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, my middle school girls in the past would do their hair and wear jeans and... But you know what? That might be a situational thing because they can't use locker rooms because of COVID. So they just come to... They have PE every day, so just come in athleisure. That's probably what it is, actually. I don't think it has anything to do with Gen Z.
I wear athleisure every day because that's like the mom uniform. Like, you can't wear jeans.
Yeah.
Like, jeans are going out nowadays.
They are.
But, you know, with those Gen Z, I don't even know. They're wearing, like, clothes that our parents wore in the early 2000s. They're not even wearing, like, what Kate Hudson wore in the early 2000s.
And my co-teacher also says that a lot about, like, when he taught in the States previously, the girls would get off. But he taught in Miami. Like, that's a different ballgame.
That's like teaching in the South. I mean.
No, but he taught, like, in Miami where the girls, like, they might as well have been going to a nightclub, not school. The way they dressed.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I'm sure everything was like, you get your eyelashes done, you get your eyebrows done, you get your spray tan, you get your nails done, you get your hair. I mean, even the stupid Gen Zers are getting extensions. Like, everyone has freaking extensions down to their waist. It's stupid.
I think he said Madrid was like that too.
All I'm saying is, like, I know it's super, like, it's super in style to be natural and ugly now and, like, not wear bras when you have, like, flappy breasts. But that's only going to be in style for the next, like, 10 years.
Who knows?
You're
going to want to
put a bra back on.
Who knows?
Because high and round are going to be back in.
Yeah, who knows even?
And you're going to have wasted your 20s with saggy breasts, flopping around college campuses with your nipples pointed down. And yeah, freedom, it's not more comfortable, okay? Get a really super well-fitting bra from Poland. That's more comfortable. Like, structure. And it's gorgeous. And there's nothing, like, inherently, like, wrong with it. There's nothing inherent, like, free the nipple if you have great breasts. But most of you don't.
And with that, we will see you next week.
Also, Bebe Neuwirth is in this movie, and she's awesome.
She is. I said it while we're watching. Like, Bebe Neuwirth is glamorous, and no one ever says it. Because no one ever says anything about Bebe Neuwirth ever.
I know.
Because you think of Lilith if you think of her at all.
Well, Lilith was who I wanted to be when I grew up. I halfway made it.
Halfway.
Lilith / Elvira.
Yeah.
That was my goal.
Well, I think that's a good spot to end it. And next week we'll have Patreon on the episode, and we're doing
Rebel
by
Beverly Jenkins.
Until then, we will talk to you next week. Goodbye.